Blog Talk Radio.
And on that day when my strength is faint, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul sing your praise unending. Help out in heaven and
thank you. Borra ma torbo orre basitra bo cotano umbra bo sotro bo odere vota. Diarra ba torbo corro sitere bi chiel tu borro. Diabra ba torbo sotro bo coto obre basicata. Mia bro bo torbo cotro bo orre ba sotro bo coto orre. Barra ba torbo bo orre basitro bo cotro bo scetere oto.
Lord my God, I hear your praises. Feel your love. My angels watch in amazement at the love, praise, feet of freedom. Continue this path. Continue seeking. The days are short. My love, my grace, my mercy be shown. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise you. Praise you, Lord. The Lord's given me one word for this morning, for the message this morning. It's very simple. One sentence, really. Time is very short for America. You may be seated this morning. This is weighing very, very heavy on me this morning. There's a difference between having an idea. There's a difference between having an idea or a guess or an estimation that time is short for America. But it's different this morning. I didn't plan. I had my alarm set to get up at 5:30 this morning, but the Lord woke me up at 4 o'clock, really before 4 o'clock, but I finally just went ahead and got up at 4. And the whole time I was praying, the whole time I was looking at the Word, all I could hear the Holy Spirit saying to me over and over again is how short the time is for America. Folks, I don't care if you don't like this. I don't care if it upsets you. I don't care if it scares you. I just have to obey God, okay? Everything in America is about to come unraveled. This is why I'm hearing the Holy Spirit saying this, and it's so strong upon me. I'm talking about everything is going to come unraveled. And I mean quickly. The Lord told me this morning that everything is now going to speed up. That we will not get out of this year before some very terrible events happen in our country. But our economy is going to come unraveled. Our infrastructure, natural disasters, terrorist attacks, everything in America is about to come completely unraveled. And I don't say that lightly. I've never, ever stood in a pulpit or a church and said those words. Ever. I've stated that the Lord has shown me for years that judgment would come to America. But I don't think most of you even comprehend how close we are to complete collapse. God really has held back what should have happened 2 years ago. God has given us more time in His grace and mercy, but the Lord wanted me to tell you, and you can take it or leave it, you can listen or not listen, but the Lord told me to tell you this morning that whatever preparations you need to make, whatever final preparations, or maybe some of you have made no preparation, but whatever preparations that you need to make for an economic collapse, for food shortages, for difficulties beyond what I can even describe to you, whatever you need to do, you better do it now because you are running out of time. This scripture, I want everybody to turn. I'm going to show you this scripture. I believe it's 1 Chronicles, chapter 12. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12. And I'm just going to say, I feel the Holy Spirit on me so strong this morning, I'm shaking up here. What did I say? First Chronicles 12. Let's see, we'll go down. And, of course, these are the men that became David, King David's personal army. We're going to drop down to verse Oh, we'll just read from verse 30, just so you get an idea. He goes, he's talking through about the tribes, the different tribes of Israel. He says, of the children of Ephraim, 20,800 mighty men of valor, famous throughout their house of their fathers. And of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 18,000, which were expressed by name to come and to make David king. And verse 32 is what I want to focus in on. Verse 32 says, and the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to discern what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. And then, of course, he goes on to say, and Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank, that were not of double heart. He goes through this list, and you can read it for yourself later on, but he goes through this list of all these different tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel and the men that came to him. And, you know, it's interesting with God because within those 12 tribes, he shows you how the different tribes had the different gifts. Like Zebulun, they were experts in war. Right? Talked about the other ones, Ephraim, they were famous throughout their congregations as men of valor and honor and nobility. But he said this about the men of Issachar. He said, the men of Issachar had understanding of the times. They discerned the times they were in and knew what Israel ought to do. And he said, all their brethren were at their command. Folks, let me just explain something to you. The most important thing to understand is the time and the season that you're living in. One of the biggest problems with the false prophets that were in Israel back in the days and times of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and if you look at the story between Jeremiah and Hananiah, those two prophets, it's interesting because both of them were prophesying in the name of Jehovah, Yahweh. And both of them actually said the same thing. Jeremiah was prophesying that God's judgment would come through Nebuchadnezzar, but that the children of Israel were not to resist, they were to yield to that, and that God would let them be exiled and judged for 70 years, and then God would bring them back to the land. But the prophet Hananiah stood up, and he said, no, within 2 years, the Lord will bring back all the vessels of the house of the Lord, and he'll bring back the children of Israel, and he'll defeat Nebuchadnezzar. Now, God would ultimately defeat Nebuchadnezzar. God would ultimately bring back the instruments of the Lord. The Lord would ultimately bring back the children of Israel to their land. But the problem was the false prophet did not understand the times and the seasons of God. And therefore, this is what Jeremiah said of him. Jeremiah said, you have taught rebellion to the people of God, and you will die within the year. And it was 2 months later that the false prophet Hananiah died. And we know Jeremiah's word came to pass. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? You can read that in Jeremiah 28, 29. But you can read that story about Jeremiah and Hananiah, and you can see here's two men that were prophesying. Here's two men that were speaking in the name of the Lord God Almighty, speaking in the name of Jehovah Yahweh, God Almighty. And they were basically saying the same thing, but one knew the exact time and season that God was, how God was operating, and the other one was just making it up out of his own mind and his own heart. This is the problem within the church today, because we have a bunch of people who don't understand the times and the seasons that we're living in. And because of that, they are even though they may be teaching some scripture, they're not preparing the people of God for what is about to come, and therefore they have taught rebellion to the people of God because the people of God are not doing what they need to do. And we've got them by many by name, Joel Osteen and Rick Warren and Pope Francis and all the rest who are just saying, oh, it's everything's okay. No evil's going to befall us. You can have your best life now. Oh, we're going to prosper. America's going to have a great revival, and America's going to change, and we'll get a new president or a new Congress, and they'll fix everything. Well, you know what? That's never happened, and it's not going to happen. The Republicans won't save us.
the Democrats sure won't save us, and the Libertarians won't save us. We are done. The Lord spoke to me and showed me that this downing of this Malaysian Airlines flight is going to escalate everything between Russia and the United States. Israel just called up 50,000 more reserve troops after a call up of 40,000 just a week ago. They have initiated a ground invasion of Gaza. Turkey is now threatening Israel and ratcheting up their talks. Russia will be involved with Turkey and Syria and Iran. They pushed back the nuclear talks 4 months. Hear me. Time is running out quickly. We are in the season of the blood moons, which are a sign from God. And lest we forget, I don't know why we lose track of this, but the Bible's always told us that the last days would be a season of economic upheaval and change, that we would go from one system to a system where everyone had to receive a chip or a mark in their hand or their forehead, or they would not be able to buy or sell, and that chip and mark that would control your economic life, that chip or mark would be required, you would be required to submit to the government and the leadership of the Antichrist. And that if you did that, you're damned for all eternity in hell. There will be no forgiveness. Once that worship of the Antichrist, the Pledge of Allegiance, whatever it becomes, it's an economic change. And folks, if you don't think an economic change is coming, you are blind as a bat. You hear what I'm saying? Because the economic change is happening right now. And Russia and China and Brazil and India and South Africa has formed an alliance, and they are creating a world bank that will move away from the dollar and move away from even the IMF and the other world bank system. Russia, what a lot of people don't realize is Russia has declared war upon the United States and the dollar. It is right now a currency war, and there are some proxy war going on now in the Ukraine and even in the Middle East. This is a proxy war between the United States and Russia. And frankly, neither one of us are on the right side. Because right now there's only one right side, and that's God. Right. The side of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the true God. Obama is evil. Putin is evil. Bashar Assad is evil. And folks, just like the Bible always said, it would be a war against the whole world system and Israel and the true Christians. That's what Revelation 12 speaks of. Now, with James, I want you to turn to James 5. I know. James 5. This came to me this morning. And people listen to me. People listen to this broadcast from all over the United States and all over the world. I'm telling you, you better prepare yourself for what must shortly come to pass. James chapter 5. Maybe I'll get there in a second. James chapter 5, verse 1. Hear what I'm saying. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and they shall eat your flesh as it were with fire. Why? As he says, you have heaped treasure together for the last days. Zechariah says that the silver and the gold won't even be worth anything. Why? Why is that? How can we ever get to a place where silver and gold aren't worth anything? Because when you're starving to death, you don't want a gold coin. You want a loaf of bread. You hear what I'm saying? It'll be worth anything. Somebody comes and offers you money for your food, and you need food. You ain't giving them you're not taking their money. And this is what Americans don't even comprehend right now. Our money's not even real. It's not even real anymore. They're printing it like they print Monopoly money. It has no gold, no silver to back it up. You know that Germany demanded its gold back from us, and we said, you can't have it. You know why? Because it's not there. No country on the face of the earth now trusts the United States. Economically, militarily, in any way. And it hadn't just the Democrats that's done it. The Bush family, the Obamas, the Clintons, all of them are on the same team. McCain, they're all working together. And I want to tell you right now, listen to me closely. You mark my words. I don't care if you laugh now. I don't care if you scoff. I don't care if you don't believe it. But within the next couple of years, and maybe even sooner than you think, the United Nations will come in and take over the United States of America. We will no longer be the United States of America. We will be the North American region. The UN moving into Detroit, the UN moving into this manufactured immigrant crisis at the border. But see, this is how you know that it's all cat and mouse, that it's all a shell game. It's because there's been reports and pictures and videos and documentation for years of UN, white UN vehicles in America stored, armored vehicles. Buses to transport people all over, thousands of them. Recently, we've seen them moving in the southern United States between Alabama and Georgia. Why are thousands of UN vehicles being pre-stationed in the United States? And right now, I'm telling you, right now, WorldNet Daily, a very credible, probably the most credible news source that has a Christian foundation out there, and they have credible sources that break this news before anybody else. And this is stuff you won't hear on Fox or CNN or MSNBC or any of the rest of them, because they're all owned by the same people, and they don't want you to know. But I'm going to tell you, WorldNet Daily just said they have sources in the United Nations in New York that's plainly told them that they are meeting in secret to circumvent their own rules and their own procedures to name these immigrants, these children coming from Mexico into the United States, to call them political refugees so that the UN can call this a humanitarian crisis and roll out in America. And now the FEMA camps that everybody denied existed, they're being activated for the immigrants. And what they're going to do is not only are they activating the camps that they're building, there even now reports are coming out of Texas and different places that FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security are buying new buildings, warehouses and stuff, and transforming them. And if everybody thinks that's a lot, Trey here used to work for Halliburton and built the FEMA camp with them in Louisiana back in the 2005-2006. This is not hearsay. This is not a lie. This is what is coming to us. When the Lord says you better prepare, and I said it on the radio show the other night, there's three ways you better get ready. Spiritually, number one. It's time to quit being distracted. It's time to get strong in the Word. I like what somebody told me the other day. Well, I'll just say it was Crystal. She said, you know, I'm trying to get the scriptures in me because I know there may be a day coming I won't have a Bible. That's what. She said they're not going to hand one out in FEMA camp. That's very true. But they get strong spiritually, number one. Emotionally. Now, let me say this. How do you get strong emotionally? Well, the wise person strengthens their mind, will, and emotions first by being in the Word, of course, and by drawing near to God through prayer. But we got to strengthen our emotions by just understanding and thinking in advance. What do I need to do? How will I react in this situation, or if this happens, or if that happens? The person who plans, who thinks ahead, who thinks further on, is going to be more emotionally able to handle what's coming. Because, listen to me, I know this like I know my name. So many Americans, when this comes unraveled, there's going to be something massive happening on the West Coast, and the Lord told me particularly to watch Portland, Oregon. But as these dominoes begin to fall, and the United States comes unraveled, civil unrest, economic collapse, uncontrolled immigration collapsing the system, the police state taking over, as all this stuff begins to happen, and then when people go, and this is going to happen, by the way, a lot of people don't know this. Do you know that Russia they planted not too long ago what's called a digital grenade in the NASDAQ and didn't set it off? They decided instead of destroying the NASDAQ system, stock market system, they would just steal information. But they had a destruct button they could have pushed. They're getting ready. The cyber attacks, one day soon, you're going to go to the ATM and ain't nothing coming out. Nothing. You're going to go inside and talk to the branch manager and he's going to say, have a nice day. Good luck. Exactly. And people think, oh, that's not going to happen in America. It's happened before. Everybody forgets 1929. But see, the Lord spoke until this time. You're not coming back from it. See, I'm going to tell you, even the little children are hearing from God. Just this past week, if you didn't hear the radio show and you weren't at Bible study, I'm going to tell you what happened. See, I know what's coming. The Lord spoke to me. He's even given my wife a dream about the bears. But I had the dream in 2008 about the two bears. The baby bear and the mama bear. And the Lord spoke to me and said the baby bear was the 2008 financial collapse, but that mama bear was coming and there would be no recovery from that. My wife just had a dream where there were five bears in our front yard chained and held back. And it's been 5 years. And I knew that was good, that those bears had been held back, but the Lord is saying that they're not going to be held back much longer. And in my dream, the mama bear came after me, and I was able to get everybody in the back room and protect them somewhat from this mama bear. But see, I'm telling you, what protects you is prayer. What protects you is being in the Word of God, being close to God, discerning the times, but also preparing yourself. Food, water purification, getting your money out of these systems and using it for what you're going to need to survive before it's too late. And you can say, Dean, you're crazy. I don't want to listen to this. I don't care. One day, you're going to know either you should have listened or you'll be glad you did. Because I can't help it. The call of my life is that of a prophet. I know things before they're going to happen. I haven't been a perfect man, but I know things before they're going to happen. I can't help it. Sometimes I don't even like it. But I know it. Like I know my name, we are running out of time. America. The ship is sinking. And God's not going to stop it. Now, do I believe there will be a revival in the midst of this? But I do. But I'm going to tell you that most Americans who are so caught up in their lifestyle, so caught up about their money, so caught up about what they have and their comforts and everything else, I'm telling you, there's going to be some what we think are Christian people lose their mind. Lose it. Because they cannot allow themselves to fathom what is about to happen. And hear me. I'm not the only one saying this. But let me tell you what Faith had a dream. I won't forget. The other day, Monday, we had church service. Little shy bug, she's hiding herself. But we're, you know, the Bible says your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Right. Right? Abby has. Ben has. Right? And so Monday, I'm playing with little Faith. And Mama's getting ready to do the ladies' meeting for the church. So me and Faith, I said, well, Faith, me and you, we're just going to play. We're just going to have a day. She calls it daddy time. So we're having daddy time. And I'm in her room, and we got a little game we play with hitting the balloon with the ball and her catching it. We're having a good old time. And so, anyway, she just, you know, we play for a while. I always lay on the floor playing with her, hitting the balloon. She just decided, you know, here, she's 4 and a half now. She's going to read her Bible. So she goes over to her little bookshelf, and she pulls off her picture Bible. She opens it up. And she sits down beside me. I'm laying on the floor, and she just starts reading. And, you know, it's got pictures in it. So she goes, you know, God told Noah, I heard her, God told Noah to build a boat. I think that's prophetic as well. Noah prepared for what was coming. Why do Christians think somehow it's not right to prepare? I don't understand that. But anyway, Noah was warned of God, and he prepared an ark to save his family. Are you preparing to save your family? So that's what she's reading. You know, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, right? So we know, here she goes, right? So she's talking. So then she goes in and she grabs a couple of other books that she wants me to read to her. Her little creation book, and then there's another one. So I'm reading these little books. I think you gave them to them, Marcia. So I'm reading these little books. And when I get done reading the second little book, she tells me, she said, I had a dream. I said, really? What was it? She said, well, I saw these horses. And these horses came down these steps. And she said, and they started stealing everybody's food. She said, but the people didn't see because they were on tablets and phones and doing chores, she said. Doing chores and on tablets and phones. And I said, she goes, they were distracted. That was her words. I have it recorded. I recorded it. She said they were distracted. And then I got her to tell it like 2 or 3 more times, and she kept telling it the same way. She'd give a little more information as it went on. I remember one time she said the people weren't paying attention. And immediately when she told me she saw horses come down and start stealing food, I knew immediately, the horsemen of the apocalypse. That's what she was seeing. That's what God was revealing to her, and especially the black horse. And we forget that the black horse carries the balances in his hand, and he says 2 measures of wheat for a penny and 2 or 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. I mean, that was a day's wages. We were talking about food shortages. And I knew immediately when she started saying stealing food that she was talking about food shortages and famine and economic collapse coming. Now, when God starts giving prophetic words through 4 and a half-year-old, you better pay attention. And as she shared this, the Holy Spirit just hit me, and it was like the reason I'm giving this to her and I'm telling you is because I want you to know I am, and I will speak through a 4 and a half-year-old, I'll speak through a 7 or 8-year-old, I'll speak through anybody who will listen to me. And we've got to discern when God is speaking or we are in trouble. Listen, folks, it doesn't matter what you want in the future. Can I just say that? All your plans, all your ideas, all your dreams need to be crucified with Christ. This is our problem. I've got plans. I've got ideas. I've got this. How about what does Jesus want you to do now? What does Jesus want you to do right now with everything, your time, your strength, your energy, your resources? What does Jesus want you to do now to prepare for the future? It might have nothing to do with what's in your head. You've got to know. And see, the problem with most American Christians is we have not died to our own will, to our own pleasure-seeking, to our own dreams and our own plans. We don't understand that you've got to die to your own will as much as you've got to die to sin. That's why it's going to be hard. We're too alive to the world. See, I don't know about y'all, but some people think, well, you're a preacher. You're supposed to be this way. But you know what I'm concerned with? Because I know the times and the seasons we're living in, because I know it by the Word of God, and I know it by the Scriptures, and I can look and see that the storm clouds have gathered. But you know what I'm concerned with? I'm concerned with what can I do to help somebody else come to Jesus, to help some Christian understand and open their eyes and prepare themselves. I'm not worried about my future. Whether I die, whether I'm rich or whether I'm poor, I don't care about any of that. I want to use everything I have to bring as many people to Jesus and as many prodigals and backsliders back to Jesus and as much of the church to get out of religion and deception and blindness and understand the times we're living in and to make changes accordingly. Remember, he said that the men of Issachar, the children of Issachar, had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. You got to understand the time, but you also got to know what to do. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you. But here's the thing. Here's another thing. The Holy Spirit, to test your humility, will also speak through somebody else. I know there's a lot of Christians, I can hear from God myself. Yeah, that's good. You should be able to. But you better be able to hear God through somebody else, too. Amen. Even a 4-and-a-half-year-old. Amen. Remember this. A lot of people forget this, too. God gave a dream and revelation of the future to Nebuchadnezzar. Remember? Was Nebuchadnezzar a child of God at all? No. But yet God gave him a dream, a prophetic dream about the future, and brought a man of God to interpret and understand that dream. Same thing with Pharaoh. Pharaoh, was he a believer? No. And yet God gives him a dream. Right? But see, men of God were able to hear God even through the ungodly when God was speaking. Oh, boy. See, folks, even some unsaved, non-Christian, non-Jew people are trying to tell us it's over. America is done. Our economy is a house of cards, and there's a strong wind about to blow. And all it's going to take is one thing. One thing. One more 9/11 stock market collapses. You know, when the UN is brazen enough to put on their website a job opening for a small arms disarmament officer for the United States, many of you don't even know this. How many of you know that John Kerry just signed the treaty with the UN to disarm us, American citizens? Y'all know that? You know why? Now pay attention. We are so far gone. But it doesn't have to be. It's not, I'm not telling you this to give up. Because I'm telling you, it's time to refocus energy into the area that's going to matter. Eternal things. Eternal matters. What are you doing to bring others to the knowledge of the truth? What are you doing to bring other people to repentance, faith? What are you doing to help somebody learn the Word of God? Listen, I don't do a two-hour radio show on Tuesdays, a prayer meeting that lasts about 2 hours on Wednesdays, and a Bible study that lasts 2 hours on Thursday, and a church service that lasts 2 hours or 3 hours on Sunday for my health. That doesn't mean you have to do what I do, but my question is, you see, what I'm saying is, what are you, you got to say, what am I doing? Yes, we got to do our job. Yes, we got to clean the house. Yes, we got to take care of the kids. Yes, we got to go to the grocery store. Yes, we all have to do those things. But are your eyes open? Are you aware of the hour that we're living in? Remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees? Look with me. Look with me at Matthew 16 real quick. Matthew 16, verse 1. Now, you have to remember, a lot of people give the Pharisees and the Sadducees a bad rap. But they were the men... They were the leaders of Israel. They were the pastors. They were the spiritual leaders. They were the men of the synagogue. They represented the church, like the church of today. They taught the Bible. They taught the law of Moses and the prophets. Some of them were very devout men, godly men, had a desire to be righteous. You hear what I'm saying? Nicodemus was one of those men, right? Even Gamaliel, who didn't quite agree with Christianity, had enough wisdom and knowledge to recognize God might be doing something here. We maybe need to leave it alone. But there were men, you look at Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, a priest. Godly men, they weren't all evil. But you have to understand, they were the leaders of Israel. They were the spiritual leaders. They were the pastors and the prophets and the priests. They were the men teaching the Word of God. They were the men leading the synagogue. But Jesus said this of them, and this pertains to our church world right now, probably more than ever. He said this to them in Matthew 16. He said, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. What was he telling them? You know the Word of God. You know the Word of God. You can look at the clouds and see what kind of, in the sky, and see what kind of weather's coming. But you're not discerning the time you live in. Can you imagine? Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, the one they were all looking for, was standing in front of them, and they could not discern it. Because you want to know why they couldn't discern it? Because they had their own agenda. Your selfish agenda will blind you to the truth. A lot of people think that Judas was about money. Why, if Judas was about money, why did he take the money back and throw it down when he saw that Jesus was going to let himself be taken and crucified? Because Judas, we know, was a zealot. He was in the political party, and he wanted Jesus to use his power to overthrow the Roman Empire. He had an agenda, and he was trying to force Jesus to do his agenda, and it ended up driving him away from God and betraying, being the betrayer of the Son of God, and then going out and committing suicide because he couldn't live with the guilt that it didn't work out. He didn't want the money. He wanted his agenda fulfilled. Folks, give up your agenda. Give up your own plan. Give up your own ideas. Even if they're religious, discern the time you live in. And some of that's going to be dying to what you think, your opinion. Dying to your religion. Dying to your denominational ideas and doctrines. So many people are going to go to hell because they can't turn loose of the Catholic Church. My God, if you can't turn loose to an army of pedophiles and idol-worshipping, Mary-worshipping devils in fancy suits, my God, but we got them in the Protestant Church too. It's got to be a big building with plush chairs and a big screen, and it's got to make me feel good about myself. It's just as much an idol and an agenda as the Mary-worshipping Catholic. Turn loose of your own agenda or be blinded and go to hell. Real simple. Your own agenda is an idol. It really is. When the Scripture says to the Christian, you are not your own, you are bought with a price. How else to interpret it? You are not your own. Nothing you have, your brain, your body, your mind, your spirit, your intellect, your finances, nothing is yours. It's hard for America. That's a hard pill for Americans. Oh, I worked hard. I got this. I did this. I did that. I did this. I did that. I did this. I did. We're really actually getting ahead. You know, we're studying the book of Daniel. We're going to get to chapter 4 Thursday. That was Nebuchadnezzar's problem. Look what I've done. Look at the kingdom I've built. Look at everything I have. Well, what did God say? Judge, you're mistaken, sir. I gave it to you, and now I'm going to show you because I'm going to take it all away from you. Hear me. Americans are about to have everything that they've ever known stripped from them because it's been an idol. The American dream, the American way of life, the American ideas. Listen, even our patriotism. You know, I'm sorry. I love my country, but I don't love my country more than I love God. I don't love my country more than I love the truth of the Scriptures and the Bible. My country has become evil. We're the ones pumping out 90% of the pornography in the world. We're the ones killing more babies than any other country in the world. We're the ones spying on everybody in the world. We're the ones going to fight in situations that we have no business fighting in and killing people we shouldn't be killing. We used to have greater ideals and a greater moral compass as a nation than we do now. America has fallen. And she won't get back up. The only thing that's going to happen in America, in God's mercy, in the very days ahead, and I'm not going, Allen's pastor, Pastor Valamont in Griffin, Georgia, Assembly of God pastor, basically a megachurch pastor, is saying the exact same thing I'm saying. We don't even know each other. We're from two different worlds. He's saying the exact same thing. Why? Because he's a man of prayer. He prays. I mean, he's talking, his pastor's even talking about a refugee camp coming around his church. America's going to see tent cities. So that's hard to take, Pastor Dean. I know it is. I don't want it any more than you want it. But you know what? Jeremiah the prophet, he had to stand up for all those years from a teenager until he was an older man, and he had to warn them and tell them over and over and over again, the army of the north is coming. The Babylonians are coming. They're going to destroy this place. Amend your ways. Repent. Get your heart right. It may be that God will be well with you in the midst of that judgment. And you know what God promised Jeremiah? He said, you know what? You and the remnant that have turned to me and repented of their sins and that mourn and sigh and groan in prayer for the sins of the people, he said, I will spare that remnant in the midst of the judgment. I will be with you. I will protect you. And God protected Jeremiah and the remnant even when Nebuchadnezzar came in and just wreaked havoc. Folks, some of us in this room are going to be martyred in the days ahead. Some of us are going to be shipped to a prison camp. And some of us, God will deliver to continue to preach the gospel through it. You know, I'll tell this story. When I went to Nigeria in 2002, I would preach in the seminary. And the Pilgrims Seminary was one of the largest seminaries, especially Pentecostal charismatic seminaries, in the country of Nigeria. And I would preach and teach in there in the morning session, and then we would go sometimes and preach somewhere else in the afternoon and then another church in the nighttime. Well, I remember one morning. And, you know, when you're preaching 2-3 times a day for a month, that means just you don't have time to prepare. You just have to be filled, and you have to ask God to give you and go. You don't really have a lot of time to sit there and prep. But I remember one morning I was sitting there, and there was probably, I don't know, 150 or so students in there. These are all young men and young women who are about to graduate from seminary and go out and start churches and be missionaries and be evangelists in the country of Nigeria. And I remember I'm standing there in a meeting, and it's probably about halfway through the month that I was there. And I'm standing there, and the presence of God comes over me so strong, the tears come to my eyes, and God gives me this word to tell these people. I said, some of you, I said, in fact, a lot of you will be martyrs. God will call you to the north, to the northern region of Nigeria, and the Muslims will kill you. And do you know that that has happened? So that's not a good prophecy. But they did the will of God. Amen. They're getting their reward. But that's the reality of our Christianity. It's facing life and death. Every decision that we make is eternal. To be a man or woman of prayer makes a difference between how we'll live and how many people we can affect. Preaching the truth of the Word of God even when people don't like it. Not worried about what people think. Understanding and discerning the times and the seasons. I cannot say this enough. It is paramount that we understand the times and the seasons that we're living in and prepare. I'm telling you this morning, you can like it or not like it, but thus saith the Lord God. America, time is up. The handwriting has long been on the wall. You know, the other day, I saw the hand of God come out of heaven. I saw this in a vision. And I saw the hand of God come out of heaven and slap a predator drone out of the sky. This is open, just vision. I saw it clear as a bell. And I know the Lord was showing me that he's able to protect us, even if they come. He's able. But the Lord, he spoke to me something else about that. That predator drone represents America and what we have become. And when his hand, I mean, I saw a hand of God huge, bigger than that predator drone. It's flying, and the hand of God came out of cloud, just smacked it down to the ground. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, your interpretation of that was correct, but it wasn't complete. He said, that's my hand smacking America down. And I'm about to smack her down to the ground because she's become a predator. An economic predator, a warmongering predator, just evil. And there's a remnant left. And what you're going to see, too, you're going to be shocked how many so-called Christians turn against other Christians. That's coming. I can't wait for Thomas Horn's book to come out. Blood on the Altar, the coming war. Between in the church, between the true Christians and the Christians who are going to betray them. The Christians who are going to take the mark, who are going to work with FEMA. What y'all doing? I got an invitation. Didn't I, babe? I got an invitation from Department of Homeland Security and FEMA to go through their 8-hour class and to become one of their people, one of their pastors, to go along with the system. And I was actually going to go just to spy on what they were teaching until they told me I would have to get a FEMA ID. And I said, you know, I thought to myself, I talked to my wife, I said, I'm not too comfortable with that. But I talked to the guy real nice on the phone. I said, oh, I'm not, you know, we're not going to be able to make it. Could you please send me the information and the syllabus? He sent it to me. There's a lot of pastors that are going to side with the government in the coming days. Some already are because they're scared to death right now to even lose their 501c3 status. Worried about being tax exempt instead of the truth. FEMA and DHS are our mortal enemies, but a lot of Christians think that's just odd. No, what you don't know is the Pentagon and the Department of Homeland Security has labeled you, because you're a Christian, you are a domestic terrorist. And they've stored up billions of rounds of ammunition for us. And the Department of Homeland Security ordered practice targets of pregnant women and children to shoot at. Yeah, we found out. Also, they're getting church membership lists from the big churches here in town. Now, what dumb church is going to hand over their membership list with all their members' information to FEMA and DHS? People who don't understand the times we're living in, people who are not paying attention. Psalm 2, folks. The kings of this world, the rulers of this world, he said, would gather together and take counsel together to be against the Lord and against his anointing. That's us. That's Jesus. That's the church. He said they would be antichrist. Well, that's where we are, right? Let's pray.
I am the Lord my God. Take heed to my warning. I have sent my children to warn you. I've sent my word through many. I am the reader of the heart, and many of you still deny me. You cleanse my son's name, but you deny me. Lay down your lives. My wrath will come. Seek my mercy. Seek my grace. Take heed to my warning. Do not deny me any longer. Time is short. Time will be perilous. My wrath will be harsh. Thus saith the Lord.
But I just want to say, I know that's the Lord speaking, because the whole time I've been preaching, I knew God had a word of prophecy from Patrick to give the whole time. Father in heaven, we come to you today, and we thank you, Lord, that you have not left us without a warning to prepare ourselves spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, every way that we're to prepare ourselves for the storm that is upon us now, that is coming quickly. Father, I ask you, Lord, to touch every heart that's here today, every heart listening by internet radio, every person who will listen to this and an archive program. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to touch their hearts, to convict them. Holy Spirit, you have to convince them of the time and the season. Lord, to deal with sin in their lives, to deal with lukewarmness, to deal with their own plans and their own ideas and their own opinions, and to crucify those things and to truly lay it down and die to self and to truly become consumed with what is eternal for souls, for the lost, for the backslidden, for the blind Christian, for the lambs that are being led astray by wolves in sheep's clothing. Father, I pray that you would help us all to rise up and be men and women of God who would give the warnings, who would preach the truth, who would do whatever is necessary to lead people to the truth of the Word of God and to be ready for what is coming. Father, I thank you for the gift of prophecy. I thank your Word says to let the prophet speak and let the others judge. Lord, we hear what you're saying today. We hear your Word clearly, even from faith's dream, we hear your warning, and we choose to take heed to that. And I pray everyone listening will take heed. We pray it in Jesus' name. Let's stand this morning. We're going to do one song before we take up the offering and dismiss. This is a familiar one to our church. Let this be a prayer of your heart this morning, that we would be set on fire for God in this last hour. Thank you, Lord.
No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing your love. Hearing your love, that I fight down in my soul, that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. That I fight down in my soul, that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Mm-hmm.
Stay where you are and listen. Trey and Sandra, the Lord says to tell you that breakthrough has come in your lives into Him. That it is a new day for you in His presence, in His purpose, in His plan. It is a new day. Old things are passed away. All things become new. From this moment on, a greater anointing will flow from both of you to do what I have called you to do, says the Lord, for I will be with you. And you will see my anointing and my fire in a greater way. And you will step into what I have called you to do, for there is little time left. Dad, the Lord told me to tell you that the gift of prophecy, the office of a prophet that He gave you, that you're to turn it loose at work, on the street, wherever you are, to not doubt anymore that you are called to be a prophet. You've shut your mouth at different times over the years because of discouragement or thinking little of yourself. I see you prophesying at work to people, reading their mail, telling them, I mean, I even believe the Lord's is telling me He's giving you a new, you're going to see a new burst, a new explosion of even the word of knowledge getting around people. You're just going to know things about them, and you're just going to share it with them, and they're going to be blown away, and to not hold back that gift that God's given you. Patrick, the Lord told me to tell you that these were His words specifically. It is your time now. It is your time to step out, to move forward, to do things that you've dreamed about doing for Him, that you've wanted to do, that you've always known He wanted you to do. But the Lord wanted me to tell you, He's giving you the power and He's giving you the anointing, and that now is your time to never look back, to never step back, to never draw back, that now is your time to do it. Bethany, the Lord told me to tell you, to remind you of your dream
of the building and the armies and the marching you heard, but particularly the part about your friends and the one who said, why didn't you tell us? The Lord wanted me to tell you he gave you that dream because he wants you to be bolder and louder and more aggressive with sharing the truth to people around you. And it's in you. The boldness is in you. The strength is in you. But he gave you that for a reason, and that's the reason, because it was to give you the opportunity to not blow your opportunities with people. And this is your senior year. For some of these, this will be it. You'll never see these people again. Alan, the Lord wanted me to tell you that your prayers are powerful in heaven, that your prayers are heard, and they will be answered. And you will see a great breakthrough in your church and in your region. And you will personally see many saved that you will lead to the Lord. The Lord says you are an intercessor. And your prayers have great influence and power in heaven. Mary Jo, all the Lord said for me to tell you that there were some people in your life that he wanted you to turn the heat up on. I don't even know what that means exactly, but it was like I saw turning the heat up on a gas stove. He's like, turn it up. And maybe some people you're witnessing to and you've been trying to give it to them a little bit at a time, they like turn the heat up on them. Does anybody else have something they felt like the Lord gave them to share this morning before we go?
I just felt like in worship,
count the call. Say it again loud.
Count the call.
Count the call.
I think like a lot of it was in worship.
Amen. Count the cost. Anybody else?
Call on me. Mainly. There's going to be a revival with the country. It's going to be a remnant. She got a press in. Got a. It's going to be for the hungry. You got them. These pockets of. Revival, what it's going to be. And it's going to be a lot of people that are still flying. Unbelievably flying. But the hungry, the thirsty, that it is there, you have to press into this church. God wants to give you a beyond what you think. That's where I'm at. You've got to press into with a hunger. And a thirst, it's got to be daily. God, how, asking God, how do I get in your way? How do I belong? And telling God every day I need more. It's just overwhelming to me in America. There's going to be these pockets of disaster. Come on, I just want to say this. You mentioned Pastor Balamon. And, My senior pastor, I'm at the McDonald's campus, which is still part of the First Kingdom of God. And I just felt this strong with you, this friend. You mentioned it, part of it, but he preached a message a while back, powerful, but warning America. But I was listening to one of his recorded messages, you know, almost a year later, and it was, Sunday night. I think I told you. I don't know if you mentioned it here or not, but you could tell it was a burden deep in his spirit, but he said, and you could tell in the middle of his message, it just came out of the blue. Like, the Holy Spirit was need to say this, that, you know, many of us, if we knew, these are his exact words, if we knew how close we are to a nuclear disaster, again, you mentioned he's a megachurch, 5,000 members. But on all these boards, the Bible colleges, ministries in India, and I'm sure a lot of the church is looking at him, what's he saying? He said, if we knew how close we are to the nuclear disaster, how close we are to the end, he said we would be on our faces asking God. He said, well, we are going about life. This is his church. It's a strong thing. He preaches the word strong. You can imagine weak churches that have a weakness. And he was overwhelmed with, we're living like we normally live. We're doing the same thing we did 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We're acting the same way. We have a prayer meeting on Saturday night, and you have 12 people there. Or you have 20 people there out of a church of 5,000. And that's the question, you know, God, for us, for me, for us, is are we living what we say we believe? We believe God's speaking these things. Well, what are we doing to press into? And he said at the end of that, we don't know the time that we live. Exact words, we don't know the time to give it. Here we are. We're approaching it. God has given all these warnings, and we don't even know the time we live. And it was just overwhelming to me. America is going to see these pockets of revival to the rim. The rest of America is going to see destruction, confusion, disaster. However, those pockets can be a great harvest.
Yes.
It is the potential, and that's the overwhelming burden. God, it is the potential, that's the key word, for the greatest harvest in American history. But that's the key word, there's potential. It can be lost.
Right.
If there are not enough laborers and harvesters, just like here, this church right here, if you hunger and go after God, his power can flow through you and touch more lives than you could ever imagine.
Amen.
But if you block him, don't matter.
that you've received from me for free to everybody around you.
Amen.
has been working on us as a church to love one another.
Yes.
Even a small little box, that's something he's been working on us.
To deal with offenses and, yeah.
And speak the truth in love.
Exactly.
Speak
it in love. I mean,
not to speak the truth, but not love. Well, all right. Anybody else? Yeah.
So, God has shown me your pain. Showed it to me a long time. Because my fear is to be if you had the problem. So he told me, you'll forgive me, you'll trust me, you'll let me pray for your feelings. Join.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, to have steadfast in obedience, Lord God, I just pray, Father, that you would heal my sister, God, that you would take the pain from her that you have shown. Father, that you would heal her and that you would place her ankle as it was, her leg.
Patrick's faith, or Matthew 5, talking to